Hey guys, this is Tim from Fathers of the Grind podcast. First, I want to say thank you so much to each and every one of you for taking time to listen and to dialogue with us. We've had several of you reach out to us, whether it's over Facebook or through the website or over email, or maybe you know us personally and you've come up and talked to us. And we've gotten some great feedback, some great ideas. And so one of the things we're going to do this time around is we're splitting this episode into two parts. So Derek and I have a tendency to really get chatting about games, about topics, about news. And that's one of the things that he and I both really like about doing the show. But with that comes a longer show than many podcasts tend to run. So we're going to try something new this time, and both due to our busy schedules and to the fact that we want to make this a little more bite-sized for you, the listener, we're going to split this show in half. So this week's episode will take you through what we're playing as well as a whole bunch of gaming news, and we are going to cover a ton of games and a ton of different topics, even in the first half of this episode. And then tune in again next week, and we're going to cover games that come out in February, games that we're most excited about for this month of February, as well as a special main topic that we're going to cover. So be sure to tune in for that as well. Thanks again for listening, and you guys are awesome. And yeah, enjoy.
Who is your daddy?
I am the father.
You fathers will understand.
My father taught me many things.
I got an idea. How about you all sit there quietly while I make dad noises?
It's episode 5 of Fathers of the Grind podcast. I'm here with my friend. Are we friends? Derek Teague?
I don't know.
That's
depends
fine.
On the day.
That answer felt good for some reason. That felt real.
It's like I was torn, so like at least I'm giving you a shot at friendship.
Yeah.
It wasn't
a
nope right away.
Well, my name is Tim Nestor, and we are glad you guys are joining us here for episode 5. We are now into the month of February, so we're going to be talking a little bit about our gaming goals in February. I mean, sound a little nerdier, gaming goals. But also, we'll talk about bigger picture things, like what games are coming out this month. We'll look back at the month of January and look at what games are rated the best or what games we enjoyed the most. So we've got a lot to dig into, so let's just go right away to the biggest question everyone's wanting to know. It's on the headlines. CNN.com had a big headline. How far has Derek gotten into Link to the Past? Derek, give us an update.
Yeah, that's a big story right now. Link to the Past, I'm about, I want to say I'm about 5 seconds into the title screen. So, I don't know how close that is to the end.
You should be ashamed of yourself.
Yeah, I mean, I was playing it today, and I booted it up, and I was like, damn, 3, 4, 5, and I was like, I gotta get out. I gotta save.
I don't
get
understand.
Out.
I don't understand.
So that's
did you
where
actually
I'm at.
Turn the game on? Like for real? Did you turn the game on today and then turn it back off?
No, you made the joke that you're like, oh, so you basically just turned the game on and took a picture of the title screen. That is exactly what I did. No, I'm actually in the first castle, about ready to save.
Nice.
Spoiler. Zelda. Uh-oh. But I haven't gotten far.
Okay, so the world is still like the light world.
Yeah, I'm not even. I'm literally 5 minutes into the game.
Cool. Just a quick question. Is that hitting any, you know, nostalgia bones for you? Like is it getting you like, is it taking you back to the old school days of gaming? Is it fun for you?
I'll be honest right now, no. That's why I haven't jumped into it a lot, is because as much as I would like to finish it, beat it, whatever, just so I can throw it in everybody's face. And also, for me personally, as a person who really does enjoy Zelda games, I would like to start knocking some of these games off my personal list.
Mm-hmm.
I just know it's going to be a game that I'm going to have to... It's going to sound so stupid, but whatever, it's me, so I'm willing to say it. Where I'm going to have to think, and I really don't want to think right now. I'm in one of those modes where maybe just too much is going on in life, and I don't want to play a game that's making me think too much. In fact, I'm not going to talk about it right now, but as we go through the list of games that I'm playing, I'm going to hit on a game that you wouldn't think I would have to think that's been pissing me off because it's making me think, and I'm getting angry. So that's the real issue.
Well, let me give you a little pass here. So we all are rooting for you to finish Link to the Past, rooting for you slash mocking you.
Yes.
And what we'd like to see is you just complete that game. So I will speak on behalf of the millions of listeners and let you know you may use a guide.
6, 5, 8, 9, 0, 0.
You may use whatever guide you need. You look up all the help that you need. Don't waste any time trying to figure out for yourself. No, you know, we'll not look down on you too much more than we already do. Get that game finished. Knock it out. I really want that to be something that you finish.
My goal is to actually finish it in February. But like I said, there's three games ahead of that. And so until I get those three completed, well, okay, at least two of them are ahead of it. Until I get two of them done, then no, I'm not gonna do it. But I'm gonna shoot for February if I can.
Okay, all right. Well, tell us what else you're playing then, since clearly Link to the Past hasn't occupied too much time. I know you've still been gaming. What else are you playing?
I finished the end of last week. Resident Evil Zero. Nice. I really enjoyed it. I will actually end up talking about this game a little bit later, so I'm just going to say that I finished it.
Okay.
I'm also playing, or I did play, the Division beta a good amount. Friday night, I actually played with three or four other guys, and I really, really enjoyed it. Wasn't much content to the beta, but that doesn't upset me. I feel like a beta should just be some quick demo to give you a taste. So when you actually get the game, which I definitely am getting the game,
mm-hmm.
you don't feel like you're having to redo a lot of stuff. Like this beta only had one main mission, which I ended up playing probably about four times. And then it had some multiplayer stuff, which I was confused by, so I can't really explain it at this point what it is. And some side quests. But again, I really enjoyed my time with the Division beta. Look forward to the full release. I do not look forward to being on the internet after it releases and hearing everybody whine about the game not being a good shooter.
That's already happened.
It's an RPG.
Yeah. Yeah. So. Well, let me tell you just real quick, since that's not on my list of playing, because I didn't even get a full hour of playtime on that game this weekend while the beta was up, so I didn't include it on my list of things I'm playing. But I just wanted to explain to you real quick why it's not something I spend a lot of time with, the beta in particular.
Because first of all, you don't like good games.
I don't. I hate good games. But first of all, I really, really liked it, and I liked the RPG element of it. It kind of remind me of something, let's say even like Borderlands, where I guess, yes, where you hit them makes a difference on how much health comes off, but you know, a headshot isn't the same as it would be in something like Call of Duty.
Yeah.
You know, it's not an instant kill. So that, none of that bothered me. I liked the cover system. The world looked pretty cool. It wasn't even completely post-apocalyptic. It was kind of like whatever the disaster was happening now. So that was kind of cool.
Yeah, it's fairly
what I decided
recent.
Once I played through that first opening section and I got to my first little hideout and then I stopped. So what is that? 30? I took my time, you know, maybe 30 minutes, 45 minutes total if I really stopped and looked around a little bit, and I stopped. The main reason is this: I do that with almost every beta, unless I'm playing with a group of friends who really, really are into it and want to keep playing, because I know I'm going to play that game and I think I'm going to enjoy it and I'm looking forward to playing it when it comes out. I didn't really feel the need to invest any more time in it. I felt like I got the experience I needed to convince me that, yes, when this comes out, it's worth my time. And then I decided to go over to other games.
Now, I played it, obviously, more than you, but that was because I was playing with people. I would have done the exact same thing you did. I even did it with the Alpha. I played the Alpha by myself, and I played maybe 30 or 45 minutes and was sold. And then when the beta came out and I logged in at first on the Xbox One by myself and I started playing, and I was like, oh, it's the same thing as the Alpha. Well, I don't really need to play this. So I played another 30, 40 minutes, got off, and then was like, all right, unless I'm playing with people on the PS4, I'm not going to play it.
Mm-hmm.
I did end up playing with people on the PS4 Friday night, but then I didn't play the rest of the weekend.
Yeah.
Now, those same guys that I ran with on Friday, they were playing it a lot.
Yeah.
And I was just like, I felt the same way as you did, and I was like, I'm already sold. Like, this is my top three game that I desire, one of the top three games that I desire for this year, and can't wait to play. So
desire. Wow, that's intense.
I use that word specifically for you.
Yeah.
It made me moist.
Oh, no. We're going down the road.
No, but I already know I'm in love with the game, and I will like it, and I don't need to play it a lot. And I've always been that way with demos, betas, everything. If I get it, like if a free demo comes up, I'll play it for like 2 seconds, and I'll be like, it'll either be a nope or yeah, I'm buying it.
Totally.
And
agree.
I never go beyond that.
Totally. I'm the same way with demos too. Yep. Yep.
All right. So that's the division.
All right. So what else is making you moist this month, this week?
I'm really juicy and moist over Tales from the Borderlands right now.
Oh, no.
I played the first two episodes when they released. I really enjoyed them, but I kind of got a little burnout on just like Telltale games, that style of game. I don't know. I can't explain to you how much I've changed this past year in my gaming. Maybe it's just from playing with people a lot, but a lot of my single player games are taking a hit, and I just have not really enjoyed like Telltale style games. I actually almost fall asleep while I'm playing them. So I was determined, and I'll explain a little bit later why, but I was determined to get through this game. So I did actually get through episode 3, really enjoyed it.
Cool.
Even though I think, I don't remember what episode it was, either last episode or the episode before, I told you I kept like booting up the third episode.
Yeah, you said turning that last
it
week,
off.
Yeah.
Yeah, I finally got through episode 3, and I enjoyed it.
Okay.
And then I plan on getting through the rest of those by the time February's up. And the other game I started, real quick, is I started replaying Kingdom of Amalur. Kingdoms of Amalur.
Never played it.
Wrong.
Never played it.
Oh, disappointed in you. Yep. It's actually $4 on the Xbox 360 right now, digital.
Backwards compatible?
It's not right now, but I'm telling you to buy it because I believe since it's an EA game, it will eventually come over.
Mm.
Even still, I know you have a 360, so...
I do.
If you need me to transfer $4 in your account, I'm highly, highly recommending this game for you.
Okay.
I did beat it originally on the 360. It came out in 2012. A lot of controversy around this game and how it was made, how well it did not sell. So I decided to boot it up on my PC, and my PC had plenty of conversations about it. It's not the most powerful thing, but it does definitely give games that were originally on the 360 a almost like a remastered look if it was to come to the Xbox One or the PS4.
Makes everything shinier.
So when I booted it up and started playing it, it was 60 frames per second.
Ooh.
Or at least it felt that way. So if it's a little less, I couldn't tell. And it was just gorgeous. The lighting effects, the details. I was like, man, this is definitely not how it looked and played on the 360.
Okay.
So I got about 2 hours in, did a lot of side missions. There's just so many side missions in that game. But I really do want to continue playing it. How far I get, I don't know, because kind of like Dragon's Dogma, which I was excited to replay, probably not going to get that far because of all the games that I've got to get through or I want to get through that I've never finished before.
The beauty of replaying a game is that the pressure is off, in my opinion, to go all the way through it. A lot of it's more of just kind of revisiting some of the experience.
Yeah, I just wanted to relive it, revisit for a little bit, and if it goes further, awesome. If it doesn't, okay.
Yeah, exactly. Well, speaking of February, like things that you'd like to finish, why don't you give me 4 games? This is something we've done in our community recently over in the Platinum Achievements group, and I thought it was really neat, and I think it was your idea, which is one of those rare ideas from Derek that I like. And what it is, basically,
rare,
is 4 in February. And so you challenged everybody out there to pick 4 games from your backlog, or maybe it's one you're buying this month, but pick 4 games that you want to complete by the end of this month. And a whole bunch of people are participating, like... Dozens.
Well, it is actually supposed to be backlog games.
Okay.
That's what even makes it more challenging.
I gotcha.
Is because, especially for somebody like me who buys, and you, Tim, you've become ridiculous at buying games now.
I have a problem.
It's supposed to be a challenge because you're supposed to, while you're buying new games and playing new games, complete in the shortest month of the year 4 backlog games. And so... the 4 I picked, I'll just read them off real quick, is Telltale's Game of Thrones. I think I've completed a couple episodes already on that. Tales from the Borderlands, which I just talked about. I'm 3 episodes in. Borderlands, the pre-sequel, oh, I'll be talking about that game. And Legend of Zelda, A Link to the Past. So that's why I said earlier my goal is
you
to
almost
beat
didn't
it in
say
February.
It. You almost didn't say the Zelda one. You waited for a second.
I didn't want to say it. but yeah, I'm supposed to, I agreed to finish that one. And like I said, I had actually booted up Zelda a couple days ago, and that's when I got like 5 minutes into the castle, and I was like, man, I'm really not feeling this game. Like, there's zero desire. Like, I actually have a desire to play Ocarina of Time. I have no desire to play A Link to the Past. So this is going to be difficult. I wish you guys would have voted for Ocarina of Time, and I'm kind of bitter towards y'all.
Well, your
so
first,
those are my four.
Your first two, I think, are definitely doable. Game of Thrones and Borderlands.
Those are the easy ones, but they are... I told some people that were like, oh, you picked easy games. Well, not really. Those two were games that I actually have been desiring, I use that word again, to finish, that I hadn't gotten around to. And so when I read about the four in February, I was like, oh, well, let's just knock these two out.
Nice.
And then Borderlands, the pre-sequel, I'm a little bitter towards. It is a game that I actually own on both the Xbox One and PS4. I started it on the Xbox One, and I didn't realize how far I got into it. And I actually had agreed to play with Jesse and Brian, or at least I had started talking to them about playing it on the PS4. And I was like, oh, that would be cool to run it with people. But before I did that, I was like, let me check how far I am on the Xbox One. Well, apparently, I'm in Chapter 10, and there's only 11 chapters. So I was like, oh, man,
Whoa. This
is one of the games I wanted to beat. And I'm very honest, so I'm not making this up. I did not pick this game because I knew I was almost done with it. I picked it because I knew I had started it and had no clue how close I was to the end. But my frustration with this, I've been playing this game the last 3 days, and I'm having to basically grind because I've hit a boss that's a level 24 and I was a level 20. And I'm only getting, like, side missions that are, like, level 11, level 14. So they're kind of easy, and I say kind of, and I'll explain why. Combat-wise, they're real easy, but the puzzles or finding stuff they're asking me to locate, I cannot stand this game. Like, it is making me furious.
Wow.
And I love Borderlands games, and I am getting so frustrated with it because every single mission will be like, go here, and it'll show it to me on the map, and I'll go to that area in the map, and I'm like, I don't know what I'm doing. I'm just standing here. The thing is not here.
Yeah.
And it might be like a hidden button that I'm supposed to push to unlock a door, or it might be what was one of them? Oh, I had to find like three data pads or whatever. Voice pads, voice recognition pads, and they were in the worst places ever. I was, like, cussing the entire time. I'm like, are you freaking kidding me? Who made this game? I want to destroy them. So I was a little bit angry, if you haven't figured it out. So this whole thought process of going, holy crap, I'm in Chapter 10. I should be able to beat this game
totally
in, like,
derailed, isn't
2 hours
it?
Yeah. Oh my gosh, I'm having to grind on the dumbest missions, and I'm barely leveling up. Like, I've probably put a good 6 or 7 hours in, and I just got to level 22.
Well, the good news is you are part of a podcast show called Fathers of the Grind, so this should be no issue for you.
Yeah, I love grinding just for the fun of it.
Well, you've got three games there that any gamer worth their salt should be able to knock out pretty easily, especially if they're on Chapter 10. Of 11, so
yeah, we'll see.
Get that figured out, and then take the rest of the month to go after Link to the Past.
Yeah, if I can ever get over my desire not to, but yes, that is the plan.
All right, well, this has been a week of Xbox One games for me. I just bought the system last weekend. It came in on Friday, and I've been enjoying it quite a bit over the last week. The three games on there I've spent most of my time playing. Right out of the gate, I had Forza Horizon 2. It's one of the first things that was installed and ready. It was a digital download with the system. I am not a racing fan, and a lot of that has to do with not being very good at realistic car simulators of any kind. So when I got this game, I thought, yeah, whatever, it'll be a nice new, different kind of genre to have available, I suppose. But people were telling me, no, you might like it. I think you'll enjoy it. Give it a try. And I really do like it. It's got just enough of an arcadey feel that it's not overly punishing. But it also, to me, someone who, when you say racing, I think Mario Kart, to me, it still feels realistic in some ways. I'm not saying it's a realistic racer, but to me, someone who is purely like Mario Kart at most when it comes to racing games, it has a lot more of, the cars have more weight to them. You know, the way you can spin out if you take the corners wrong and all that kind of stuff. It definitely feels a step towards realistic compared to most racing
now,
games.
Now, has your kids played it at all? Have you let them
try it? They've tooled around a little bit just down the open road and stuff, and they like it, but they want to go back to Rocket League. So when it comes to like racing and driving around, they're kind of like, where's the ball? You know?
Yeah, I would think they would want to play Forza because it's such an open, beautiful world where Rocket League, they're just driving in circles in a dome.
Yeah, but Rocket League has the turbo, and you go flying upside down, and they just laugh their heads off. Forza's like, yeah, that's cool. Yeah.
I really like Forza. I don't know if I said it on the show last time. It's probably my favorite racer of all time. Well, okay, forget it. I just cut myself off. Burnout Paradise is my favorite. But Forza Horizon 2 would probably be second, safely.
Yeah, it's very good. It's got a lot of style, a lot of personality.
I actually wouldn't mind co-oping that with you.
I've tried this already once, and I had to bail because of family plans, but we tried to set up like an online road trip event, and I think a couple guys were able to run it without me, hoping to do that at some point, so I'll have to make sure we get that
going. Yeah, I've never done that. I never played the multiplayer.
Yeah, it sounds fun. If I understood the description was correctly, it sounds like you not only are traveling from point A to point B, but along the way you have different events and competitions, everything from tag to little mini races, obstacle courses, whatever else, to run through together.
That's what I used to do, and that's why Burnout Paradise is my favorite game, our racer. That's what I used to do. We had like three or four buddies, and we would go and just drive around the open world and just do little missions or little, you know, we just have competitions who can jump the furthest off a ramp or something like that. So
yeah, so that sounds like fun. It sounds like a good one just to kind of like chat with buddies too while you're gaming. And it's not too intense. It doesn't require a lot of, you're not talking, gearing up, or, you know, you're not, it's not an RPG where you have to stay super focused. It's just kind of fun. So hoping to do that soon. I've also been playing Transformers Rise of the Darkspark. And the reason I've been playing that one a little bit is I got it free from our local library. I just looked through their Xbox One available games, and they had a handful of them, and that's when I thought, I'll give this one a try. It's okay. It's not amazing, but
like, free, they gave it to you, or you rented it?
Rented all it. Right. So I'm taking it back tomorrow, actually. Yeah, it's okay. I mean, it's a Transformers game. You know, you get to play as a few different Autobots and Decepticons. The story is whatever. It's fine. It's fun. If you like Transformers, I think you'd like it. The way you can jump back and forth between your vehicle and your...
I would rather play, and I haven't bought it yet, and I'll buy it eventually when it's on sale, like maybe $15 or lower, the Transformer game by Platinum.
Right.
Platinum Games.
That's what I thought I was getting when I grabbed it, and then I looked at it closer, and I was like, oh, this is the wrong one. But I still played it. I thought I was getting Devastation.
That's why when you said Rise of the Darkspark, and you said, you're playing on your Xbox One, you said, right?
Yeah.
See, I thought that was a 360 game. So.
It might be. It might be one that was ported up. I haven't tracked the Transformers games all that closely.
Obviously, it's on the Xbox One because you're playing it, but that's probably what they did. They probably released it like early in the Xbox One life cycle. And no, I don't follow Transformer games. I do like Transformers, but I'm more of a Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles fan, and Platinum Games is making both of those, and I didn't buy Transformers, but I plan to get it, like I said, when it's cheap, but Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, I will be buying that day one.
Nice.
That looked so rad. I watched the trailer, and I was like,
that does look cool. I totally agree. So yeah, Devastation is the one I meant to get, but yeah, whatever. If you're a Transformers fan, it definitely looks a little last gen, but it's got some fun action in there. The third game that I've been playing all week, and this is one that I can't say enough how much I love this game, and that is Ori and the Blind Forest. Ori and the Blind Forest. Dude, now I'm on the final I'm on the final area. I'm in that the mountain, the big lava mountain where I'm clearing out these these waterfalls of lava. You have to go in and you have to plug up all the different, basically, rivers of lava. And the puzzles and the obstacles that you have to work your way through while dodging and defeating enemies and using their projectiles to launch yourself even further. It is so challenging, but incredibly rewarding. But anyway, so that's where I am right now. For those of you who have played the game, you know I'm getting really close to the end here. I love this game. It is a really big game. I wasn't expecting it to be this meaty in terms of just overall size as well as just
how many hours would you say you're in?
Just a guess. That's a good question. Probably in the 10 to 12 range, maybe.
Okay. That's what I think it is. I think it's like a 12 to 15 hour game.
Yeah. Yeah, it might be a little more than that, but yeah, 10 to 12 maybe. And I have done a lot of collecting, so I've backtracked a bunch. You know, once you unlock a few abilities to kind of see things on the map, whether it's the ability orbs or some of the other collectibles. So I've backtracked a little bit to collect a little bit of those just to scratch that OCD collector's itch that sometimes crops up for me when I'm gaming. But now I've kind of just decided I want to get to the end of this game. I really, really love it. I don't want to overstay its welcome. If I decide after I beat it to keep collecting stuff, great. But otherwise, I'm ready to see the ending. Really emotional story. Like it a lot. The villain, the big creature that's kind of chasing the whole time, there's a very interesting story there that they incorporate right out of the gate. In the first 15 minutes of the game or less, there's some incredibly emotional moments already with very minimal dialogue. And really, you're just reading because the voiceover is some language that's completely, definitely not English. I have no idea if it's a real language or not. you just read. It kind of reminds me of Shadows of the Colossus, where you've got that deep, booming voiceover from beyond, yeah. And the characters on the screen are doing something, and it's explaining to you what's happening. So it has that same vibe to it.
All right, so you love it.
Totally.
Let me give my opinion about this. I got about 8 hours in. I think I'm 65% complete.
Okay.
Don't plan on beating it, not because I don't have the desire or because I don't think it's a quality game. I do actually think it's a really, really good game.
Yeah.
I'm just not very good at platformers. I have no problem admitting that. I struggled on certain areas, and once I got past one specific tough area, like, I can't even describe it. I kind of wish I recorded myself, but then if I would have recorded myself, I would have been embarrassed, and I don't think anybody would have respected me, because I literally flipped my dang lid. I was just going off on the frustration that I had. At the time, and I'm going to stand by this, and I know nobody agrees with me, because I know, while I'll admit I'm not great at platformers, I was the person holding the controller. While I was doing this difficult part, I felt like I was doing it right, the way the game instructed me, but I kept dying. And that's why I was getting infuriated, because I was like, how do I say this without cussing? Effing telling me to do this, and I'm doing it, and then I just keep dying. I keep failing and failing. I literally died like 60, 70 times.
Whoa.
So, long story short, I finally got past the part. Kind of gives you that Bloodborne, Dark Souls vibe where you just took down a very difficult boss.
Yep.
But it drained me so much that when I went into the next area and couldn't figure out how to get past certain areas, I was like, no, I'm just done. Like, this game is nothing but a headache, and I'm done.
Yeah, see, I had that same experience. Not that many deaths in one spot, although it does give you a total respawn count, and mine is definitely over 100 for my total playthrough. I'm not sure what the total is, but I know that feeling of you start to feel a little exasperated. There's a couple of escape sequences throughout the game that are very challenging, and like one mistake and you got to start over.
Yeah, that was where I died. They're very, very, probably 70 times.
Yeah, they're very tough. Once you beat those, for me, I'm totally the opposite. I don't get worn out by it. That kind of invigorates me to want to keep playing. So if it's 12:30, 1 a.m. and I should be heading to bed and I beat that part finally, I end up staying up an extra half hour at least, just getting, you know, let me just go a little bit into the next area because that was really interesting, and that, you know, that hooks me, that kind of feeling, that satisfaction of beating that. So I think it's one of the best platformers I've played in a long time.
Well, and I was satisfied beating it, but
yeah.
The time I got to the next area, because I did get, I don't remember what it looks like, otherwise we'd describe it. I know it was frozen, like it was cold. And I got into this area, and I think there was a lot of, like, electricity and stuff like that. And I was like, oh my gosh, I don't even want to try to figure this out. Because that's the thing, that's the genius of this game, is not only is it gorgeous, not only does it take something that, like, a genre that doesn't normally tell a good story. Like, I don't buy Mario games when I'm doing platforming Mario games for a story. Ori does that. Ori goes, all right, so we're going to make this... this Metroidvania type game with platforming and obviously the Metroid side of it as well, shooting enemies and things like that. But we're also going to give you an emotional story, a beautiful world, and we're going to make you, like, we're going to pick your brain from area to area and make you change up your style, your play style, and try to figure everything out, like almost like a maze. And that is where I finally hit the wall at about 60-65%. I don't remember exactly because it's been a long time since I played. And I was like, that's it. I'm done. I'm not doing this anymore. And I did try to go back like 2 months ago. I booted it up again, and I died like 3 times in that same area. I was like, no, you just delete it. Just be done
with
this.
Well, I understand that, but you said some things about it that I 100% agree with, and I can't emphasize enough. It is a gorgeous game. Absolutely beautiful game. It is, to me, one of the sharpest controlling platformers I've played in a long time.
No.
There's a game I played last spring. It was part of PS Plus called Aru's Awakening. And as visually impressive as that was, it was all hand-drawn, really beautiful-looking game.
Mm-hmm.
The gameplay quickly wore on me because the main gameplay mechanic is very creative and the controls are very weird. But later in the game, it becomes so difficult, so frustrating, that it's not even fun.
Yeah.
To me, Ori is a much better version of what Aru's Awakening was trying to be. This very... first of all, the story of Aru's Awakening is useless. It's really dumb. It doesn't make any sense. The story of Ori and the Blind Forest is beautiful. Makes total sense. Love it. A lot of feels throughout that game. The visuals are great. The platforming is spot on. The way you unlock abilities as the game goes on is just right. And then, of course... And this is why we compare it to something like Metroid or Castlevania. You unlock an ability later in the game, then now you can go back to that area you couldn't access before, and now you can access it because you have a wall climb or a double jump or you've got the ability to now float or whatever it might be. So love that game. Love it quite a bit. If I ever were to revisit my top games of 2015, without a doubt this would land somewhere in that top 10, maybe even higher. I'm not sure exactly where. I'd have to really think about it.
I think if I could have beat it, it would have been that for me. I have no problem saying that. And that's why I said, I made sure it was clear that even though I want to blame the game, and I do truly believe maybe I was just so angry that it was the game's fault, I have to admit I suck. And if I didn't suck, I would totally play it. I would totally beat it. And it would probably be a top 5 game.
Yeah. Yeah. No, it's very, very good.
So I rag on people about it, but I respect that game very, very, very much.
Yeah. Yeah. It's a wonderful game.
All right, so Tim.
Love it. Yeah.
4 for February. What are your 4 games?
Well, this was made before I even started Ori, which I bought at the beginning of this past week. So the number 1 game was Ori and the Blind Forest, and I'm almost finished. So that's good. Not even a week into February here, and I'll have that one wrapped up. The next game I'm planning to dive into is Life is Strange. That's a game that really seems like it's going to be right up my alley, right in my wheelhouse of games that I'm interested in.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm planning on getting through those episodes. And then after that, I'm going to shift gears into a totally different type of game and play Rise of the Tomb Raider.
Love it.
I've got that sitting right here, right beside my Xbox One, ready to play. I already put the disc in. It's all installed, ready to go. But I'm waiting until I can play that and only that, because that's a game that I am so excited to play. And the last one I'd like to finish, and I'm listing this as a game, even though it's not a game. It's about the length of a medium-sized game.
I would say it counts.
Yeah, the Hearts of Stone Witcher 3 downloadable pack, the downloadable content. So I'm looking forward to getting back into Witcher towards the end of this month. So those are my 4. Ori, Life is Strange, Tomb Raider, and Witcher 3 DLC.
So as somebody who's finished 3 of those and... wishes he could finish the 4th one, I have to say your list is better than mine. So enjoy it.
I'm really excited. Yeah, it's a good month. It's a good month. All right, so last week I posed a question to you listeners, and then I also posted it in a number of different Facebook groups of whether it's Podcast Beyond Group or Podcast Unlocked, the Xbox podcast from IGN, the Kind of Funny group, as well as some of our smaller community groups, basically saying, what are the most ridiculous game ideas? And I got some great feedback. Now, some people just listed games, so I want to give make sure I give some shout-outs to some friends of ours, like Paul Laughlin said two words, Night Trap. a guy named Ben Boondock, Ben Boondockta, not sure if that's his real name, but that's a cool name. He says BMX XXX, and I remember that being a huge deal when that came out. Nathan McInerney, and I'm sorry if I butchered your name. We were in fantasy football league together, but I've never had to say your name out loud, so I'm going to call you NMAC. Anyway, he said he loved the idea of Naughty Bear, but it did not execute well. So there are several others who just listed games, but what I wanted to do was a few people went ahead and described almost like a blurb for a game on what the premise is, and you'll recognize these. They're so hilarious when you actually think about it as a premise for any kind of media. So here's one from our good friend Jesse White. He says, Michael Jordan awakes to find out that his biggest rivals, which he's buddies with, have been kidnapped and their memories erased. So he goes armed with a basketball to save them. He has to dunk on random hoops to get keys and power-ups while fighting enemies that have basketballs for heads. And his review on the game is, this game is awesome. Do you know what game that is?
Is that Space Jam? Do they have a game like that?
Now that you mention that, though, I don't remember if there was a Space Jam game. I can't remember. No, that's the Michael Jordan game in the Windy City. I think is it Trouble in Windy City? I forget the exact title of it, but I remember.
I've never heard of that.
I can see the box art. I remember playing it back in the day.
I remember a Space Jam game.
Yeah, the way he describes it is perfect. Well done, Jesse. That's a good one. Brandon Thompson says, a plumber jumps through paintings collecting stars to defeat a giant fire-breathing dinosaur.
Mario 64.
Mario 64, yes. Jose Jimenez says, soccer with rocket-powered cars.
I think you know how that turned out.
Yeah, we all know how that turned out. Yeah, so Rocket League, of course, it is a ridiculous premise. It's a ridiculous premise, but it works. And of course, as you guys have all heard every episode, we love that game. Chris Matrone says, a walking metallic dinosaur was created to shoot nuclear missiles at enemy countries. Yes, that premise is also silly for Metal Gear Solid. Let me just read one or two more here. A small boy in a green tunic trespasses on people's property, breaking their pots and stealing cash instead of saving a princess. And that's the game you're trying to beat right now. Stop trespassing and breaking pots. You've got a problem.
Enjoy breaking pots.
I like this one from Adam Schreiner. A gorilla and a spider monkey retrieve their bananas from a tyrant alligator king. That's a good description of Donkey Kong. Let me read one more. Daniel Duran. I like this one a lot. A fatherless preteen leaves home in order to collect animals for an old scientist who is trying to write an encyclopedia about said animals. Along the way, he encounters his neighbor/frenemy, who is also tasked with collecting the same animals. They force the animals to fight each other in a barbaric act of animal cruelty.
I have no idea what that is.
You don't?
No.
That is Pokemon. Every Pokemon game.
Well, I've never played Pokemon.
What?
I had no. Here we go.
What?
No, I've never played a Pokemon game.
Why do you hate the world? What is wrong with you?
I have no interest in Pokemon.
It is. Oh, my word. I can't even speak. I am at a loss for words.
It's trash. Pokemon
is not trash. The Pokemon games are great. The Pokemon show, on the other hand, some of you grew up with it, maybe you liked it. I hated the show. I never got into the cards, but the games are fantastic RPG adventure games. They're great. They're really great. All right.
Yeah, I'll definitely get in and check them out.
My word.
No, I won't.
They're so good. Okay. All right. Oh, yeah, one last one. Marcus, you know what? I can't say your last name. Marcus H. He describes a game where a guy in a fur Speedo with the whip hunts Dracula.
Castlevania?
You got it. Castlevania.
Even though, guess what?
Castlevania.
I don't play Castlevania games.
All right, so as we all know, there are ridiculous game premises out there, and it's just kind of fun for me to think about games that we take for granted as being mainstays. Everything from Mario, Donkey Kong, even old strange ones like Shaq Fu or like Michael Jordan in the Windy City. We talked last week about the worst game ever.
Who's Your Daddy?
Yeah, Who's Your Daddy? It's awful. For me, one that's one of my favorite weird premise games is Worms. I used to love the game Worms, where you're shooting rockets.
I did enjoy Worms.
Yeah, really fun. So, anyway, nice to hear from the community a little bit there. And let's move on to some gaming news, if you're up for that.
100%. Let's do it.
All right, so here's what I want to do. There's a couple stories that I just want to highlight right out of the gate. And then here in a little bit, we're going to play kind of like a quick hits pick one. So I'll read you a couple of headlines, and then you will pick one for us to discuss for a few minutes. There's a lot of news that came out this past week. And so instead of taking a million hours to cover everything, because we really could, all these are somewhat interesting, if nothing else, to me.
I feel like this week was a good news week. So.
It really was. And so, but what we want to do is we'll mention them so everyone can hear the headlines at the very least. And then if people decide on their own time to go check out these stories, you know, feel free to do so. But first up, what I did was I went to Metacritic. And now some of you really don't care at all about reviews. And that is totally fine. That's your prerogative. I do happen to look at reviews because I respect, especially certain websites have a tendency to fall in line with what I would agree, you know, with the game's quality. So sometimes I'll even go to Metacritic to get an overall idea of how is this game reviewing as a whole. I do the same thing with movies. You know, I'll go to Rotten Tomatoes or over to Metacritic and just get a summary of what are people saying about the game. So for the month of January, I went on to Metacritic and wanted to see what were the highest scored games for the month. So let's go through each console real quick and see what the highest scored games of Metacritic were. And while I'm doing that, I want you to start thinking, what if you had to pick one game that you played in January? I don't care if it came out in January. It's one game that you played in January that was your favorite, your absolute favorite. So think about that while I share with you the Metacritic results. So for the Xbox One, the top-ranked game that came out on Xbox One, according to Metacritic, was This War of Mine, The Little Ones, with an overall score of 80. Number two was Oxenfree at 78, tied with Banner Saga, also at 78. Those are all considered to still be in what Metacritic would call the green, so in that good category of games. Mm-hmm. And then the number four spot was Resident Evil Zero, the HD remaster, at 71. Still pretty decent score. And then Assassin's Creed Chronicles India clocked in with a 67 on the Xbox One. So those were your top five Metacritic scores in January for the Xbox One. For the PS4, no surprise here whatsoever. Number one, this little game that no one's talking about on every single podcast and every single website, The Witness, at 87, the 87 overall Metacritic score. Everyone's talking about that game, and it sounds like for good reason. It's definitely going to be in the mix for Game of the Year, I think it's safe to say, in about 10 or 11 months from now. Life is Strange came in number two for the PS4, and that's because I believe they put out their special edition, the disc version. And that clocked in at a 85 overall. This War of Mine, The Little Ones, was their number three game on the PS4. Interestingly enough, that one got an 82 overall compared to 80 on the Xbox One. I am not aware of what differences there might be. It could just be the way the reviews
It's just you get reviews from specific PlayStation magazines and specific Xbox. And so not all of them are going to match up. Whereas IGN's probably going to give it the same score on both.
Right, that makes sense. So those are about the same, right? In that 80 to 82 range. Mm-hmm. The Banner Saga was number four for the PS4. And then number five is a game I have not heard of called Klaus. Or Claws.
Never heard of it.
Yeah, it came out on January 19th. Kind of has an indie look to it. But so there you go. There's your top five for PS4. Real quickly for the PC, The Witness, Pony Island, Rise of the Tomb Raider, which everyone's excited, finally dropped on the PC. Darkest Dungeon and Life is Strange. Those are the top.
I'm surprised Darkest Dungeon wasn't higher. Every review I read was just praising it, but it's a pretty difficult game. So
3DS saw two games come out, so it's not really a top five. It's really just the only two that got scores, at least, on Metacritic. And that is Mario & Luigi Paper Jam and Final Fantasy Explorers, which you and I have played and enjoy.
How did Paper Jam review? Because the one review I saw was not good.
Yeah, I've seen some mixed reviews. I've heard some mixed things. I've heard it's not quite as funny or as clever or well written as past entries in the particularly in the Mario and Luigi games. But it got a 77 overall.
That's not bad.
Which to me still sounds like, hey, when there's a deal on this, it's worth checking out.
Yeah, I heard the gameplay's fun, but everything else is kind of lacking. I guess in that type of game, gameplay rules.
And for those of you who are mobile gamers, just real quick, number one was Crashlands with a 99. Number two was Dungeolot, Shattered Lands. Number three is Punch Club. Number four, Momoka, An Interplanetary Adventure. And number five was Lost in Harmony. So there's just an overview of how games reviewed for the month of January. But more importantly than that, who cares about these professionals, these big conglomerate website outlets? Who cares about them and their opinions, Derek? What was your favorite game from the month of January?
All right, before I answer that, I think we should next episode talk about our most trusted games media websites.
Okay.
I think we should have a conversation about that. Let's do it. Throwing that out there because I will totally forget after we're done recording this show. All right, so for me, I was looking through the game calendar on Game Informer because I have no clue what came out in January. Like, for some reason, I can't remember anything that comes out. And I went with Resident Evil Zero. It was a game I bought originally when it first came out on the GameCube. I also bought it a long time ago used on the Wii, and I never got far in it. It was one of those that I started, I believe, with my brother on the GameCube, and we played a little bit, but I don't think we ever got off the train, which is where you start, so it's not much of a spoiler. But I bought it because I'm a Resident Evil fanboy, and I was like, all right, I'll just own it. You know, kind of like I did last year. I bought Resident Evil 1, the high def remaster, or whatever they want to call it, on the PS4, and I just bought it, and I kind of played it for like 20 seconds, and I was like, ah, I've already beat this game. I just own it, you know, that type of thing.
Yep.
That's all I cared about. So I did the same thing with this one, even though I had never finished it. And so I started it just to kind of see if it was going to piss me off or whatever and make me go, okay, I don't care, or kind of hook me. And it hooked me, and I was actually shocked that it did. So it hooked me enough to the point where, because I hadn't finished it, I was like, I want to be able to say I beat it. So I kept playing it, and this past Sunday, I actually finished it. I really enjoyed it. Sure, it's a little dated, and it's got some certain things that can be a little frustrating. But overall, it was a really fun experience. It's a really good Resident Evil game. The cheesy dialogue was there. You got to have the cheese with the Resident Evil games. It nailed it. So I definitely enjoyed it. It's a really good game. I'm fine with the review scores being in the 70. It seems pretty accurate for my experience. But I definitely am glad I finished that one.
Nice. Nice. Well, for me, it was kind of hard to pick because I played a few shorter games this past month, and I enjoyed all of them. But we're not doing any honorable mentions here, so I'll just pick one. And my favorite game that I played last month was The Vanishing of Ethan Carter. And we've talked about that a little bit last time. I also have a write-up on it on our website. But I'll just give you a couple quick thoughts I have on it. Number one, for those of you who have very busy schedules, and you know, if you're like us, you've got families, full-time jobs, and it's hard to squeeze in that gaming time, this is a great bite-sized game you can experience. I do recommend you play it when you don't have a lot of distractions around you. It's a very contemplative, slow-moving game, but it's got beautiful environments. It has a very at times confusing story, but the way it pulls together, I personally really liked. I liked the story quite a bit. I found it to be disturbing, also emotional. I just really, really liked it. It's the kind of game that I look at and I say, I'm really glad there are games like this, because usually people think video games and they think Call of Duty, you know, shoot all the bad guys type of thing. Everyone's real aggressive and mean and there's lots of violence. Or they think of Mario. Not many people think of something this beautiful and something this compelling. Even for someone who doesn't play games, you don't have to be good at games to play The Vanishing of Ethan Carter, because there's really not any skill involved in it. It's just a matter of experiencing the story. You can get through it in as quick as 2 or 3 hours, maybe as many as 4, if you really want to stretch it and explore every corner. I highly recommend it. I loved that game quite a bit. It was on sale, and I imagine it'll go on sale again. My favorite game of January by far, Vanishing of Ethan Carter. And I know that it's not one that you liked as much, but that's okay with me because your opinions are usually wrong. So,
yeah, I find my opinions to be superior. So when I hear you like praising a game, I'm like, oh, okay, yeah, it's got to be trash.
I like how at first you were going to chime in with like, your serious thoughts, but then I went ahead and insulted your general opinions on stuff.
No, I did enjoy it. It's just, I don't know. Towards the end when the story played out, I was like, oh, well, that was kind of lame. But overall, it was a good experience. Yeah. And like I said last week, I highly recommend everybody play it at some point, even if you didn't catch it on this last, I believe it was a flash sale for $8.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's going to go on sale again. Don't pay 20. I don't think it's worth 20 bucks. But if you can get it for anywhere from 5 to 10, it's definitely worth it.
Yep.
Good game.
Yep,
and let me just say something real quick. I picked Resident Evil Zero because I was picking games that released in January. If it's just the best game that I played in January, then I'm not gonna go on a long tangent. I'm just gonna tell you what it is. It's definitely The Witcher 3: Hearts of Stone. That was my favorite.
Okay,
so that's it. That was my favorite.
That's fair.
Resident Evil Zero definitely deserves to get the praise that I gave it.
All right, let's talk a little bit about PlayStation Plus. They recently announced that for the month of March, they're going to open up some voting, and it opens up this coming Tuesday, February 9th. So if you're listening,
can I tell everybody the games that they're letting you vote on?
You can, yeah. So let me just give a little background. What Sony did, I believe it was in August, what they did was they opened up voting for three games, and they said, pick one of these. And then that became one of a pack of games that they make available to PS Plus subscribers. And that was kind of a neat thing they did in August where the, you know, gamers, players feel like they have a little bit of a say.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, they don't really open it up to nominate any game because that would be actually insane. Now, those three games that were nominated last time around weren't really games I was familiar with then. And the one that won, I was not super thrilled about. But this time around, again, Grow Home. This time around, it's three more games that I'm not really that familiar with, although I recognize a couple of the names. So this coming Tuesday, and Derek's going to share with you what games they are, you can pick between one of these three. And then
you can pick between Poo Poo, Kaka, and Crappity Crap Crap, because that's all they're offering you.
Oh,
it's
man.
Just a bunch of crap.
I thought you were being serious.
No, I recognize Broforce. That's one of them.
Yeah.
And I actually went and went to Steam, and I was like, all right, let's just watch like a clip of Broforce. And it actually made me laugh. Now, will I play it? No. But I thought it was a pretty funny game. So I can see why so many people were like, Broforce, Broforce, Broforce.
Yeah.
So there's Broforce. There's Action Hank. Mm-hmm. Hank. Assault Android Cactus. Now, Action Hank sounded more like my type of game because it was sounded like a racer,
okay.
But you're actually running. It's not in cars or anything like that. So I don't remember exactly what I read, but it sounded semi-interesting. And then Assault Android Cactus, I didn't do a lot of research on it. As soon as I saw it was, a twin-stick shooter, I was like, pass.
Yeah. Well, Action Hank, I just want to point out, in the description on the PlayStation blog, says it's a lighthearted racer where you run, jump, and butt slide your way.
That's what I read.
So that sounds funny. It sounds like a bunch of games that are not especially serious, like kind of silly, possibly really fun games. I'm not really sure. I can't speak that they're, you know, speak to the fact that they're all fun, but I can say they all look very silly and very kind of light.
Broforce, if you're into Contra, like a silly Contra type game. It looks like something I would think you would love.
Yeah, so it looks like Expendables the game.
You will be voting for that.
Probably. Most people, from what I've heard so far, people are most excited about Broforce, so I anticipate that'll win. But if one of the others catches your eye, make sure you get on there and cast a vote. So
yeah,
those
I'm
things
watching,
are, yeah,
I'm
those
watching
things
a video on Action Hank right now.
Oh, you are? How's it look? How are the graphics?
I'm going to vote for it. It looks silly. And it looks good. It's like you're like You are running, you are a butt slider, but you're running on like these tracks that you would see set up in like your kid's room, like those RC Pro-Am track like
Oh.
type tracks.
Okay. Yeah.
So it's pretty cool, and it says race with friends, so you can do it multiplayer online. I'm definitely voting for this. This actually looks like a game I would play. Yeah, I like it.
All right, cool.
Got my vote.
All
It
right.
will lose, but I got my vote.
Well, here's what I'm gonna do. We're gonna mix this up. We're gonna make it as interesting as possible while still sharing all the news we can with you. So I'm gonna read four headlines for this first section. We've got a couple of these, and then I'm gonna have you pick one, and that's the one that'll actually share the details and get your thoughts on. The other ones, that doesn't mean they're not important or we don't like them, but I encourage you guys, if you want to hear more about these things, feel free to go online and whether it's Polygon or IGN, GameSpot, you pick the website of your choice. That's, you know, they all cover this news, and go read more about it. So here we go. Here's your first four options. You ready?
All right.
Number one, Assassin's Creed Identity has been announced. It's a mobile game. That's the first option. Number two, Final Fantasy 15 has a release date announcement coming. We could talk about that. Nintendo is looking into VR? Question mark. Or Hitman, their release plans for Hitman, the new game coming out in May, are explained.
All right, so Final Fantasy 15 is the one I care about more.
All right. So let's.
Did that disappoint you?
No. All of these are interesting enough to me that I, you know, feel like learning a little more about them. I've read a little bit about all of them, but I didn't dig in too deeply. But here we go. Final Fantasy XV's progress report, according to Square, is mostly done. The launch date's on the way. And this March 30th, at a special event in L.A., they're going to be announcing the release date. And so I'll give you a chance to talk about this here in a second. But first of all, I think it's awesome that Final Fantasy is a big enough franchise and a big enough name. And they're one of the few that can do this. They can have an event and schedule this event to announce the release date of the game.
Yeah.
That's kind of funny.
I would imagine they're going to do something more than that. But
yeah, they'll probably reveal more pieces of the game or details about the game. But the idea is basically this whole event is to tell you about when you can play the game.
How excited are you for Final Fantasy 15? We haven't talked about that.
I haven't played the demo at all. So yeah, my hype level is non-existent. It doesn't mean I'm not hyped about it. You know, I'm not looking forward to it in some way, but it's just, yeah, I haven't really read, watched, or played anything to do with Final Fantasy 15 up to this point.
I played a good amount of the demo, and I really enjoyed what I played. It's a gorgeous game, and this was a demo that was released over a year ago, we're at about a year now. So I can only imagine. I would imagine they're going to even find a way to make it look even prettier, have it run a little bit smoother, but it definitely, when I walked away from the demo, actually excited me more for the game. So,
yeah.
It's exciting. I didn't know about this announcement thingy coming, so it's pretty cool.
Yeah, so this is going to be on March 30th at 7 p.m. Pacific time, so 10 p.m. for those of us on the East Coast. What's going to happen is, and I believe that Greg Miller and Tim Geddes from Kinda Funny are going to be the hosts of this event, if I understood that announcement correctly. Basically, what they're going to do is they're going to be rolling out more details about the game itself. They're going to announce when it's releasing. They're going to dig into what exactly the battles are going to be like more in depth. A lot of the characters, a lot of details about the game that they've been holding back on. The extra items and options that will be sold along with the game as well. It's going to take place in the Shrine Auditorium in L.A. And, of course, live streamed for those of us not in that area. So be looking forward to that. That's at the end of next month, so it's still, 8 weeks away. But it's something to look forward to. For Final Fantasy fans, the fact that they're holding this event to announce the release date this early in 2016 tells me that I'm going to go ahead and say it sounds like they're going to hit this 2016 window. This is one of those games that was often talked about as maybe getting pushed back, like many games do.
Mm-hmm.
You know, barring some kind of setback, which could happen, sounds like this is going to be indeed a 2016 game, which is really cool.
Yeah, I'm pretty excited about this game, and so to know that it's probably, they said it's going to hit it, that it's actually going to hit it, excites me. I'm just curious when they're going to release it. I mean, do you think this would be like a November game, or do you think it would be, you think they're going to be able to squeeze it out earlier to maybe get away from the
the
craziness of Call of Duty, and I'm sure there's going to be a new Battlefield and all that coming out.
To me, November makes the most sense. I mean, who knows? The thing is, they're announcing this now, and there are likely to be other game announcements for this holiday window that still haven't, you know, been talked about yet. So who knows what their competition is going to be? We all expect, like you said, a Call of Duty. But what else is going to be in that time frame that might compete with Final Fantasy for that type of audience? I'm not sure. So I'm going to go ahead and guess it's going to be in November. But it wouldn't surprise me if they go earlier. You know, Square doesn't always release their games when you expect most companies to release their games. So,
yeah. Kind of hoping for a summer release, but I doubt I'll get it.
Well, the reason I would lean against summer, I think it's going to be as late in the year as they can go in a way that makes sense, is because they did say in the recent announcement that everything is more than 50% done, which means there's still a lot of work to do. But so there you go. Final Fantasy 15 is coming. Be excited.
I am.
All right. I kind of wanted to talk about Hitman, but let's skip it. All right, pick one of these.
Nobody wants to.
No. Yeah. All right, pick one of these. And I'm okay with you picking these. I'm the one who selected the options, and I'll let you make the final pick. So, do you want to talk about the new Ghostbusters game from Activision coming out this year? Do you want to talk about a new first-person shooter game called Super Hot? It's a time-bending FPS game. Or do you want to talk about the next big Lego game that's been announced? Ghostbusters.
Don't like Ghostbusters. Never seen the movies.
Okay.
And don't care about Lego. So I guess even though Super Hot does not sound super interesting.
Super Hot.
I'll say let's talk about it.
All right. You desire to read about Super Hot. Got it.
Yeah. Really, really strong.
By the way, the Ghostbusters game is in conjunction with the new movie coming out. So I think that's why we're seeing more about
that. Oh, so it's going to be like all women?
I do not know. I would assume so. I would assume it's going to match up with the characters in the upcoming movie.
See, I've never seen a Ghostbusters movie, so I don't really care about that.
Time-bending first-person shooter Super Hot will be released on PC on February 25th.
Really? That soon?
It will also be coming to Xbox One with a release later next month. And this news came out on February 1st, so that would say Xbox One's going to see this game sometime in March. But it's coming on a PC at the end of this month, which is kind of cool to see a game announced and released that quickly. So here's what the game's about. It's a first-person shooter where time moves only when you move. It started as a game jam prototype and has since been kickstarted. There's no regenerating health bars, no conveniently placed ammo drops. It's just you, outnumbered, outgunned, grabbing the weapons of fallen enemies to shoot, slice, and maneuver through a hurricane of slow-motion bullets. This is from Super Hot developers themselves. So IGN has it listed on their 32 games to keep on the radar for this year. So it's something that they've been keeping an eye on. And it was a awards finalist for a number of different shows at the end of last year. So
it sounds interesting because, like, if you think about it, like, if from what you just read, mm-hmm. sounds like you're not going to have, like, boatloads of ammo.
Right.
So let's say you're in a room with two or three enemy AI, and so you stop moving. That means time stops. And you have to strategically figure out how you're going to kill these two or three enemies with maybe low ammo. And that way, when you stop, you can actually plan your strategy out and then move. That sounds interesting.
Yeah.
I don't know how it actually is going to play out, but that's what I was thinking as you were reading. I'm like, okay, I'm actually interested. When I was looking at the pictures of it, I was like, not really interested, but now I'm kind of
It has a real polygonal, almost crash test dummies look to it.
Mm-hmm.
But with the time starting and stopping the way it's going to, I mean, that's a mechanic that's hard to ignore. It sounds really unique.
Yeah, so, I'm actually interested. I'll check it out. I'm
super hot.
It doesn't look like it would be a $60 game. It looks like it's going to be a $20 to $30 game.
Right. Yeah, that's I would fall right in line. I think we're going to look at something $29.99 maybe on release.
Mm-hmm.
That's my guess. Something like that. So keep an eye out for Super Hot, whether you play on PC this month or perhaps wait for the Xbox One release sometime in March. All right. These are some pretty exciting ones coming up here. I think all three of these sound really cool. So let me know which one you want to talk about. Number one, all I'll say is the word Doom. Number two, Grand Kingdom, which is a tactical RPG from NIS. Or number three,
do you want to talk about more info that's been coming out about Cliffy B's new game, Lawbreakers?
Don't really like Cliffy B. I'm going to say let's talk about Doom. As much as I'm actually interested in this Grand Kingdom, I want to talk about Doom. That's
I will just kind of give you a just kind of a little piece of bait to maybe get you to bite and go read about Grand Kingdom. You can read about it on the PlayStation blog. But the comparison was laid out for games like Disgaea. So if you're really into those NIS strategy RPGs, you might want to read more about Grand Kingdom.
Yeah, coming out I'm going to do
that. This June. Ooh, okay. Yeah, it's coming out this June. Okay, so we won't read too much about that, though. You got to discover that for yourself. Let's talk a little bit about Doom. This announcement, I believe, just came out today. We're recording this on Thursday, February 4th, and we just heard about this game today.
Correct.
And it has a lot of people excited. So, Derek, I don't know if you want to go ahead and share what we've learned about it today and what's got you excited about Doom. Because it sounds like, based on what we've talked about in the past, this is a game that you're going to be more excited about than I am, even though I do think it looks pretty awesome.
I'm not like a huge Doom fan. Like, I enjoy the games, but when I saw the original announcement, I believe, trailer by Bethesda's, during their event last year in E3, or it was actually an event before E3, I was really blown away and taken back from it. They showed actual, like, in-game footage, and it was ultra, ultra violent and very fast-paced, and it looked like a lot of fun. So I was shocked to see, like, I was, like, scrolling through my Facebook feed, and I saw, like, this IGN post, and it said, Doom reveal announce, or a date announced. So I was like, okay, I'm real interested in thinking it's going to be like an October, November type release date.
Right.
And
so when is it coming out?
It's May 13th.
That's crazy.
And they also announced like a collector's edition and all that stuff. So you can actually.
So they announced this game officially in June and it's releasing 11 months later.
Yeah. So my immediate reaction was like, and I think we talked about this a couple shows ago, is Bethesda's now becoming like one of my favorite developers or publishers, just because of the way they're running their business now, where they're like, here's this game, here it comes 5-6 months later, you know? And and so I really was shocked to see how fast that's coming out.
Yep, it's coming out on Xbox One, PS4, and PC all same day, May 13th. There, of course, will be premium collector's edition versions for bonuses for those who pre-order the game, so keep your eye out for that.
Yeah, it comes with the statue and all that stuff.
Yeah, a 12-inch statue of a revenant demon.
Yeah.
That looks it looks really creepy.
For all you Satanists out there, you want to have that.
It looks cool. And I mean creepy in a good way. I really do. Like, honestly, it looks like a well-made collector's
item. And just real quick, I'll add on, Grand Kingdom does look cool, so it's definitely a game.
You cheated over and clicked on that, didn't you?
Yeah, of course. I had to see it.
So for me, just personally, I want to throw this out there. When it comes to the Doom franchise, the Doom IP, I remember playing that game. It was the first truly M-rated game that I played on the Super Nintendo port. I believe we even had was that the game that had the red cartridge? I believe it was red. Man, that game was scary. You know, the demons coming at you and like running low on health, and his face would start to, it was of course, you know, taken right off of Wolfenstein, taking cues from Wolfenstein, but then now it was set in space and you're fighting these crazy demon alien monsters. And man, that's the kind of thing that my brother and I would play late at night with the lights off, and those pixels were terrifying to me back in the day. So I played that. I played the follow-up, Doom 2, and then that's pretty much it. I mean, I didn't really experience any other Doom. I mean, I watched the really awful Doom movie starring The Rock. Sorry if you like that movie. It's not good. Other than that, Doom as a franchise, as an IP, is something that's, for me personally, not something I've experienced. So this is interesting to me. You mentioned it's ultra-violent.
This is
not a tangent at all that I necessarily plan on us talking about today as a topic, although it could be an interesting topic later. That's kind of what made me look at that and say, that looks amazing, it's probably intense, I just don't see myself playing it because it's so ultra violent. It's not so much for me personally, but I've got a family here in this house. More often than not, the games that I play, someone, even if it's just my wife, are going to be nearby, you know, passing through, peeking over my shoulder. So unless I decide that Doom's a game that I'm only going to play, let's say after midnight or something, it's not something I'd really have time to dive into. And so there's just challenges there. And I think, I'm sure you parents can relate. Your ability to play rated M games is super limited when you've got kids in the house. In some ways, that's okay because there's a lot of other games to choose from. There are even some M-rated games that aren't that bad. I think of Halo, for example.
Yeah.
But the reality is there are other M-rated games, like something like The Witcher. There's really nothing I can do in The Witcher other than unlock, you know, if I'm just wandering and opening up the map and trying to find treasure chests. I can't really do much in The Witcher 3 with kids hanging around. Just can't do it. Because something's going to get its head cut off, or someone's going to take their clothes off, or something. Something's going to happen in The Witcher 3 that's not going to be something I want my kids to see. So Doom kind of has that same vibe. It looks so terrifyingly violent. For some of you, that's a huge draw. For me personally, that itself is not a draw. But if the feedback and the reports on this game come back super positive, it might be something that I try maybe a few months after release, you know, if it goes cheap or if I have access to it somehow.
Yeah, you'll be able to get it on sale or something.
So that's my thought on Doom. But for those of you excited about it, that's not at all me trying to downplay. Like, I'm not saying don't be excited about it. Be excited. And please, please share with us what you think about it. I do want to hear. Maybe you'll convince me to say, hey, listen, it's violent, but dude, it's so amazing. You have to try it. I might be won over to give.
Yeah, I think as more information comes out, if it's something you're interested in, I'll get it on the PS4. If not, I'm gonna stick to buying on the PC cheaper. But I'll definitely get it day one.
Cool. All right, here's some more news. I want you to take the pick again. Here we go. Nintendo is shutting down Wii Street U in March. We talk about that. We can talk about Bethesda confirming their E3 press conference for this year and maybe make some predictions there, or, you know, discuss why we think they're doing that. Or we could talk about this report that came out of the most talked about games and platforms in 2015.
We got to talk about Bethesda, because I find this to be extremely interesting.
All right. Just so you guys know, if you head over to, let's see, that's a long URL. If you just Google search most talked about games and platforms and then look for the link to icopartners.com, they have a really interesting article with a bunch of data about the number of articles, the number of mentions about certain games and certain platforms all of last year. Really interesting stuff there. So go check that out if you're like me and have any kind of interest in analytics and breaking down activity. But let's talk about Bethesda, since we just did a little bit. It's a nice transition into their press conference.
Well, here's why I want to talk about it. There's a couple things I want to talk about, so this might go for a little bit. First of all, Bethesda called a conference last year because they had huge news, and I'm pretty sure you remember what that huge news was. So this little game, Fallout 4, was announced, and then it launched in November. So they also announced Doom. They also talked about, I think that's the first time we saw Dishonored 2.
Yep, they announced that there too. Yeah, good call.
They talked about Battlecry and stuff like that, and they also announced that Fallout Shelter was actually available that night, and
so on.
That
was kind of cool. I remember when they announced that. I played that game for a little while.
But overall, generally, Bethesda doesn't do this. So, my thinking is, why, if they've already announced, like, Dishonored 2 is not a big enough game that you could have another press conference for.
Mm-hmm.
You're not gonna announce another Fallout game. I don't think you would do a separate press conference to announce a new IP. So, my brain is going to Oblivion, or not Oblivion, but Elder Scrolls.
Yeah.
Something in the Elder Scrolls world is going to get announced.
Are you thinking something, a direct follow-up to Skyrim based on the popularity there, or a brand new, like Elder Scrolls 6?
I think it's just going to be Elder Scrolls 6 with like a new name, new setting. Mm-hmm. Maybe it'll be in a desert or something like that, since we were in the mountains and winter in Skyrim. But so I think that's going to be the big announcement. I also wanted to mention that EA is doing the same thing. So as an EA fanboy, I am really, really hoping. Now, they usually do a press conference, but they normally do it like in the middle.
Mm-hmm.
and they're actually part of E3. They're now, if I'm, and I could be wrong, and if I am wrong, please call me out, they're not a part of E3. Like, they're not going to have booths set up or anything like that. They're doing their own separate, like, press conference or some type of presentation that they're going to either record or do live. And I'm thinking or hoping for a Knights of the Old Republic 3.
Oh, man. Wow.
So
I thought you were going to go with, diving into Mass Effect Andromeda or something. But, yeah, wow, Knights of the Old Republic.
Well, everybody knows Mass Effect's coming. So either it's going to get delayed or it's going to come out later this year.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we don't know a lot about it, but I think they're purposely being secretive. I don't think you would have a press conference just to be like, well, our big announcement is more information on Mass Effect. I'm hoping it'll be either Knights of the Old Republic 3 or we're going to hear more about that secret Star Wars game that I'm drawing a blank on her name.
Amy Hennig. Yeah.
Yes, mm-hmm. Is working on. So it's either one of those two, in my opinion. So I think both Bethesda and EA are doing this because they've got huge announcements in store. So anyways, I just wanted to say I'm excited about that. And if we're following Bethesda's trend, maybe Doom coming out spring, kind of like Wolfenstein did 2 years ago. Maybe they're setting this up to say, hey, by the way, Elder Scrolls, November, coming this year.
Right, right. Well, what's interesting is this news came out before the Doom announcement for the release date. So my first thought was, oh, okay, they're going to drop a release date for Doom, and it's going to be either, hey, it's available now, like some kind of crazy, go get, you know, you can download it tomorrow or whatever announcement, or, you know, it's coming in July or August, like really shortly after the conference. That's kind of what I thought they were going to do with Doom. Now we know that Doom's coming before E3, a month before E3. And so when I'm thinking about what are you going to talk about at the conference, I mean, I'm sure they'll mention Doom. They might even show a sizzle reel of the game and how well it's doing. I can't imagine They can spend too much time on a game that just came out. So
I think Dishonored 2 will be a main.
Yeah, Dishonored 2 is going to be featured quite a bit. Of course, the Definitive Edition came out last year. And, they're trying to generate a bigger audience for the Dishonored series, the Dishonored franchise, which is really cool. But, so then what this article on Polygon says is this year's event could focus on Doom and Dishonored 2. Well, I think Doom's out of the picture now. Neither one's got a confirmed release date beyond 2016. That's no longer true. Now Dishonored 2 is the only one with a big question mark on the release date. In the article, they also suggest maybe it's going to be a chance to talk about DLC for Fallout 4, maybe something significant even for Fallout 4.
Could be, yeah.
And then, of course, I think you brought up something good that they don't even talk about in this article, and that is what's happening with Elder Scrolls. Now, the last thing we heard from Elder Scrolls was Elder Scrolls Online, which, of course, has a pretty solid player base, but overall was not received all that well. From the general public. It does have a solid player base, but a lot of people don't love that game. They're ready.
I don't.
They're ready for the next mainline Elder Scrolls game. So maybe that's going to be what it is, or maybe they catch us all by surprise and introduce a brand new IP altogether. But they did. They announced this on a tweet a few days ago, and the tweet only has a picture of, you know, some cartoon versions of their iconic characters, everything from Skyrim to Fallout 4 and so on. And their tweet just reads, "Are you game?" And so I'm interested to see, you know, is this one of those things where they're just going to be bolstering their existing IP with sequels and with DLC? Or are we going to see something, you know, out of left field for Bethesda? That'd be really exciting to me. We talked about what makes a good publisher a good developer last week. We talked about, you know, new IP versus existing IP. And this is a situation where if Bethesda comes out with a Horizon Zero Dawn type of a game that comes out of nowhere that no one expects and just looks super cool, even if there's not even a hint of a release date, maybe it's, hey, this is coming in 2017, but be excited about it. I would love that if they dropped something surprising like that.
I think, I'm not saying Elder Scrolls is going to come out like this year. I think it'd be cool if that was like why they're doing this. But I think they are going to focus a lot on Dishonored 2. I think they are going to show a new IP, at least one major one. They're obviously going to have small side stuff. And I think, what was it I said earlier? Battle Cry,
yeah.
They might talk about that one again if that's still alive and kicking. But I also wouldn't be surprised if we see The Evil Within 2.
Okay.
Another announcement for Wolfenstein. Maybe another one coming next year. So I would have to think, if you're going to have your own press conference, you've got to have 5 or 6 solid announcements and one major, oh my gosh, they just did this moment, to justify doing this.
Yeah, if they come out with any kind of Wolfenstein updates, even if they just put up a picture with the logo that says Wolfenstein 2 or something, you know, a new mainline Wolfenstein game, I will be thrilled, because I absolutely loved The New Order.
I just, the only thing, and I don't have enough knowledge, and I'll admit it now, is I don't know how long they've been working on a new Elder Scrolls game. Like, the reason why a lot of people could predict Fallout was coming out in 6 months is because they knew they were working on Fallout for like 4 or 5 years. Nothing officially confirmed,
right?
But they knew from the silence. So Skyrim is, what, a 4-year-old game?
Oh, man, 2011.
Might be coming up on 5 years.
I think
years.
It was 2011, right?
So, yeah, so it's coming up on 5 years, yeah. And they usually release these games in a 5-6 year span. So it kind of makes sense for them to have this show and say, by the way, the next Elder Scrolls game will be coming 2016. Right. So.
Cool. All right, well, that'll be interesting to see what happens there. You know, assuming that we are... still having these chats and still rolling with our show by then, it'd be cool once we get into May to make some predictions, some actual hard predictions from each of us, to see what we think is going to happen at those conferences. So we'll get there when we get there. We'll cross that bridge.
Who is your daddy?
I am the father.
You fathers will understand.
My father taught me many things here.
I got an idea. How about you all sit there quietly while I make dad noises?